You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to Earth Station 1, a weekly podcast dedicated to all things sci-fi, fantasy, and much, much more. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the 431st episode of the Earth Station 1 podcast. Yes, folks, it's that time of the year. It's the midsummer blahs. But, you know, when people say midsummer blahs, there's really not much to blah about right now. We just had San Diego Comic-Con in California, and it was just amazing what was coming out. I think this year, probably some of the biggest things, you know, announcements and videos and previews and such in recent years than we've seen. You know, it's pretty amazing. And I'm just in awe with what we saw. And, you know, we'll be talking about that in a few minutes, but we have a great main topic this week. We are going to be talking about GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the Netflix series that just ended its second season already. And I've been in love with the series since the beginning, and they have not let me down. And it's just going to be very interesting to see, you know, what people say about this. And we got a great crew to talk about it. And speaking of great crews, let me introduce to you the man, the myth, the wrestling legend himself, Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
Or would you be the Sam of the show?
I dare say I'm more like the she-wolf.
Oh, well, that kind of makes sense. You'd be the cat-wolf.
The cat-wolf, yes. The she, yeah.
The she-cat.
I don't know. Anyway, we're just going, yeah, that's, we've already taken this too far. Yes, I'm feeling particularly glowy today.
Well, I could see it on your reflection right now. I might need to put my sunglasses on or something.
Yeah, we're all glowing, baby.
Exactly. It's pretty awesome. And this kind of came out of nowhere because no one was expecting so many people to be into this. And we even, I think it was 2 months ago for the Dragon Con report, we actually put some cosplayers dressed up as Zoya and as Sam up on the cover.
I didn't realize how much I love the show until I saw them last year at Dragon Con, and I just said, I just got all giddy, like as if Alison Brie was like right there in front of me, and Marc Maron as well. And I just got, and that's, you know, that's what good cosplay does, right? It sparks a passion and a fan reaction from people, and that's I totally geeked out over their cosplay because they were amazing. And so I hope to see more of that this year.
Well, it was interesting because I saw a couple different people at Dragon Con last year. I got a couple pictures of, you know, people dressed as the different wrestlers. So it was pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, the costuming, and we'll talk about it later, but the costuming is one of the pluses of the show for sure.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, you know, we definitely want to hear from you guys at home. Please write us your thoughts on San Diego Comic-Con, about GLOW, you know, anything that's going on in the world right now. We definitely want to talk to you guys about it. Please write us at earthstation1@esonetwork.com, or you can call us at 404-963-9057. All right, we've been talking long enough. Let's dive into this week's Rants and Raves, where we're going out to San Diego. And we're going to be looking at Comic-Con.
This is not a Comic-Con report, because neither one of us were actually there. Although, as we know well and good, that San Diego Comic-Con, it's huge. It's so big, it takes up more than just San Diego. It takes up the world. The world is watching what happens at San Diego. It's just the way it is now. And it's amazing to be part of it. I think I realized that today I haven't been there in like 5 years now, 4 or 5 years, which I've heard it's grown even like almost doubled in size since then, which is just mind boggling to me.
Well, because I know for me, I got my Facebook memory today, and it was William and I at the con. We were there 7 years ago.
Waiting in line.
Exactly. Hall H, waiting and
yeah,
waiting.
Now you have to wait. Start waiting now for Hall H 7 years from now.
Well, exactly.
That's how busy it is now.
So, you know, wibbly wobbly, tiny me wimey, you know. So you'll probably be able to see the 15th Doctor by then.
So we had a lot of friends that were attending and did various things. And I saw just a lot of great pictures from people having a great time. We might try to have somebody on in a couple of weeks on the travel for the con report to talk about it. But really, it's too soon. I mean, you know, Mike, from doing San Diego, there's no way anybody who was at San Diego could have been awake and to do our show this week. So
that or they wouldn't have a voice.
Yeah. And one of the things when you go to San Diego, you don't really get to see the overview. Like when we're not there, like you don't get to see like every single trailer because you're not in Hall H or you're over here when this is happening. There's so much happening that when you're not actually there, you can just go to YouTube or social media and you can see, boom, this announcement, this announcement, this announcement. You can say, oh, I didn't get that exclusive because it sold out in 5 minutes. So a lot of stuff going on, and I guess we're going to get right to it because there was so much stuff. And this is not a comprehensive review of San Diego by any means because there was just so much going on. So many trailers. I think I saw it feels like 20 trailers over the last week or so. All about the new thing that's coming, the new seasons of shows, the new movies, the new some stuff that was just like a preview of shows, as well as videos of panels and behind the scenes look at stuff. So it was really awesome. But Mike, I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to ask you right off the bat, what was one thing that really you were really excited to see come out of San Diego?
Oh, geez. All right. Sit back, folks. This could probably take about 2 hours. So,
I said one thing.
There is no one thing I could say, dude. There is just too much that came out. You know, that would be telling me which of my children, which I only have one, but is my favorite. You know, you can't do that.
Well, one thing we can do. All right. So we don't have to waste a lot of time talking about the Doctor Who Series 11 trailer because we did that earlier this week when we released Eurostation Who.
Correct.
So anybody who wants to hear our thoughts about the new trailer for Doctor Who, we liked it. Spoiler. But if you want to hear us talk in depth about that trailer, check out the new episode of ESW. You can hear us talk all about that one. So we'll take that off the table.
Exactly. Now, Doctor Who is off the table.
Shazam!
Yes.
Shazam.
I, you know what? I plain forgot that this was happening. I did not. They were pumping up the whole Aquaman trailer, right before the convention. Actually, months before the convention, they were talking about Aquaman trailer going to be released in San Diego. Aquaman, 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 Aquaman. And then Aquaman comes the trailer before we get to see the Aquaman trailer. Boom, we get this Shazam trailer. And I'm like, oh, I forgot that was even being made. And it looks pretty good. Like I was surprised. Like it looks fun.
Exactly. And fun from the DC universe. I am shocked.
I know. From the Marvel, from the DC movie universe.
Exactly. And from the opening scenes showing Billy Batson, and they also introduced Freddie Freeman, and it was just I was like geeking out. And then how he's an adult, Captain Marvel, and they were testing what he could do. Can you fly? I don't know. Hey, look, I'm bulletproof, I'm gunproof, look at me. It was just awesome. And Zach was awesome as Captain
Shazam.
The minute he stepped in the trailer, the minute he stepped in the subway car and it started acting funny, I'm like, oh, I'm getting chills here. This is something I didn't think I'd ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into the hall where the wizard is, and it looks so good. Like, yeah, these people really care about this character. This is not just a cash grab.
Mm-mm, not at all. It looks like this is a very well done film. And it looks like it's going to be a great, great adventure. You got to see Dr. Savannah. You got to see, all different aspects of Captain Marvel / Shazam. I'm going to call him Captain Marvel because that's who he is to me, even though in the new DC universe. I know. He's only Shazam. And,
we got a Captain Marvel movie coming out later.
Yeah, right about the same time, actually.
Yeah, I know, really. Captain Marvel versus Captain Marvel. I don't want to place bets on that because Obviously, Marvel's got a huge head start with that, but still, that's pretty amazing.
Well, that's technically the next Marvel film coming out for the MCU.
Yeah, not a big... I thought we were going to get a trailer for that, but nothing dropped.
Nope. The only Marvel you really got, you had a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, and then you also had a announcement that Cloak & Dagger is coming back for season two.
Yeah, they said they were going to be very quiet this year, and because they're still in mourning.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let's be serious, man. There's a lot, like, they lost a lot of people.
Well, half the people weren't even at San Diego this year.
So, I mean, they really, like, they're struggling right now, so let's respect that, okay?
Oh, okay, I can do that. But, yeah.
All right, one trailer I have to talk about that dropped that I had no clue was coming that totally blew my mind, that I was like, oh, my goodness, I cannot wait. Star Wars, Clone Wars, the return of Clone Wars, the return of Rex. I'm like... What? The return of, obviously Obi-Wan, we've got Anakin, we've got Ahsoka, it's like the crew is back and they are going to finish telling the Clone Wars story. I was like, my God, like, I did not expect this. I did not know, like, after Rebels ended, I was very, like, interested to see where they were going to go next. And I don't think I would have normally, like, appreciated the fact that they're going back to the Clone Wars. I'm like, really? Let's move forward. Let's move the franchise forward, people. But I'm excited by this. I saw the trailer and I was like, this is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. They took everybody by surprise on that. I truthfully think that's the big surprise coming out of San Diego this year.
Yeah, that was the biggest one for me. I mean, that, like, the other trailers I saw, I kind of knew were coming on projects that I knew about. Mm-hmm. But this one just, yeah, blindsided me.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
It shocked me. I was like, wow. You know, I was like, what the hell is this? And I was talking to William about it and he was like, yeah, this is the season that they did half of it. You know, they had all the storyboards and a lot of the voices down, but they never finished it. And so, you know, this is going to be pretty amazing to see, but it's going to only be available on the Disney streaming service.
Of course.
So that's, you know, pluses and minuses. I was happy to see a preview for the next season of Orville.
Right.
And I was actually surprised by Cosmos. I didn't know they were doing a second season.
That's very cool to hear, because I know that I unfortunately haven't got a chance to check out Cosmos, but I know you've talked very highly about it. I remember, you know, loving the original Carl Sagan show, and I definitely want to check this out at some point. It's on my list, so I'm glad it's continuing because I think it's important.
This should be required watching in science classes around the world.
It's funny you tied that in with Orville, because doesn't Seth MacFarlane have something to do with Cosmos as well? Isn't he a producer of that?
He's an executive producer on it, and he helped.
So he's one of the reasons why it's on the air, too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, yes, it's Fox, but, you know, it's not, you know, I'm kudos for them for bringing this on. And all the time, I could just listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson read the phone book. So, you know, I think it's pretty darn awesome.
All right, so I'm going to – I also want to congratulate Gail Simone, who was named Chief Architect of Lion Forge new superhero line. That's amazing. Go, Gail. Go, Gail. Go, Gail. I love Gail Simone's work, and I'm glad that she's reaching a higher status in terms of projects. I'm very excited for her. Also, all right, I'm going to throw this out there. Titans.
Hated it. But I will say this. Three things I liked about the Titans preview. I loved seeing Hawk and Dove, and I liked Raven. Because I thought that was neat to see Raven on TV like that.
Yes.
The rest of it, garbage. And then for them to drop the F-bomb from Robin... I thought
that seemed like a stunt.
Oh, it completely was. It was to get people to talk about it. It does not look good. And I will not be even turning in for this at all.
Unfortunately, and I think they're playing both sides, because I know that the people who love the Teen Titans and that era and all that are going to get what they want in Young Justice, because we saw that trailer for their new series, and that looks amazing. That looks great.
Oh, what was it, Young Justice Outsiders?
Yeah, that's the name of the season that it's called. Yeah. So that looks fantastic. So we're kind of getting that. So I guess they figured they didn't want to repeat themselves, or they had a little bit more leeway to like freedom to do like another kind of Titans thing. But it kind of strikes me as too dark and edgy, and I never thought of the Titans that way. And I'm not as excited about it anyway. So you have to pay to watch it. Again, it's a subscription service, but that did not allow, I was not like, whereas the Disney Clone Wars, I'm like, yeah, I might sign up for that. Titans trailer, I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I don't need to sign up for the WB. Now, Young Justice, I will have to watch at some point somehow, but I'm not sold on their new streaming service yet.
No, not at all. And I was not impressed by seeing what I saw. And I'm going to be completely honest, none of the WB shows for the established stuff that's coming out really rocked my boat all that much. The only one I might stick with right now is Black Lightning. You know,
well, and that's ironic that you mentioned that, because the Black Lightning season 2 trailer didn't show anything new. Like, it was just a recap of season 1.
Oh, completely. And Arrow didn't excite me. Supergirl didn't excite me. The only thing I love with the Supergirl stuff is that they're doing more Legion stuff. And I love that they have a new transgender character and they're making it Dream Girl.
Yeah, I'm excited for all of them. I think Arrow looks strong. Flash, I'm digging. I'm curious to see where they're going to go with that. Legends, I think that was kind of more footage from the previous season as well, more so than the new one. So
the only thing they showed really new was the Legends at Woodstock.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yes. So bumping into
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix, yeah. Yeah. So, I don't want to spend a lot of time with that, but two other things that I really want to mention real quick. Again, a big surprise for me, Joss Whedon's announcement that there's going to be a new Slayer TV show. They're kind of calling it a reboot, but it sounds like it's more of a continuation. I don't know, but it's going to be a new show involving a vampire slayer, which is going to be tied in to Buffy's show. So that'll be interesting to see what that's all about. And I really enjoyed seeing, it wasn't really a trailer, but it was sort of a behind the scenes promo look at Good Omens. I'm very excited to see that come as a TV series.
Well, another show to watch David Tennant on, folks.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, and I read the books, and it is a great series. So it should be a lot of fun to see what happens. I was actually a little surprised we didn't get a new Outlander preview, because that's coming, I think, in September. So I think we're due for a new Outlander soon. And, you know, nothing from Game of Thrones, which was interesting, too.
They don't need it.
Yeah.
They're like, are people going to watch the new season of Game of Thrones? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And Walking Dead looked interesting, but it's after the war. So they're going to get ready for the Whispers. So,
well, and they're making it a big, obviously with Andrew Lincoln's exit, they're making it like they're really hyping it that as, Rick's last stand or whatever. So it'll be really interesting. It's for me as a viewer to see how that develops. I know you've given up on it, but I'm still intrigued.
Oh, I know. But that's why I brought it up, because I know you're still into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there is just a lot of decent stuff to see. And it's just, if you're into, a lot of the comics, there was some comic book news about, new creators, new series, from DC, Marvel, and from a lot of the other companies out there. There was a lot of great stuff. So it was just neat to see, what was happening. You also got a new Godzilla preview.
Yeah, that was intense.
Mm-hmm. It was neat to see.
And it gave me chills, because you don't. spoiler for the trailer for Godzilla, you don't just see, he's not the only monster you see. Pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be one to have to go see at the theaters next year.
Yeah, if you can, if you watch that, when you watch that trailer, if you have the option, play it on your big screen TV and crank it up, because you will not be disappointed.
And right in the preview, they have the images that they showed at the end of the Kong movie.
Yep.
So it's all tying into the same universe there, folks.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely it's going to be interesting to see. I am looking forward to that. Also, it was really interesting to see the Glass preview too.
Yep. That's I don't know if I really want to watch Split, but I'm intrigued to where that goes. But yeah, that because James McAvoy looks jacked, man. I mean, he looks like, I don't know, he looks almost rubbery, like he's wearing a rubber suit.
No, that's his whole body. He's pumped.
I can tell, man. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like it picks up fairly much right after Split.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's worth the investment to check that out or not. I haven't decided, but yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be pretty fun. So a lot of fun stuff. I have to ask you before we part with all things San Diego, are there any exclusives that you wish that you could have grabbed a hold of?
Well, I kind of got a hold of
the... Oh, you got one.
I got the Conan O'Brien figures this year.
All of them?
All three of them.
Oh, I thought there was like six.
The ones I got, they were selling them local here at GameStop.
Gotcha.
So they have him fully dressed in his suit, and then they have him opening the suit like the Clark Kent thing and seeing the super suit underneath, and then him in the super suit. So they had three different ones.
Gotcha.
So I picked those up. None of the other ones really did much for me. And there was no way in heck I was going to be able to get the Banana Splits ones.
I know. That was tough. I looked into getting the Heavy Metal one as well. But that one seems to be, yeah, pretty well, it's up there in price. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm looking right now as we speak how much they're going for on eBay.
And, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. Pops, and let us see where they're. Yeah, they're expensive. They're way out of our book, and even with our Patreon, you know, I don't think we can afford that.
Yeah, no, we've got other shows to produce, but yes, that's all good stuff. So anybody who's out there who endured San Diego, our good friend, you know, Eternal Zan was there. Other good friends were there as well. So, you know, shout out to everybody for surviving it. And, I am one day we'll be back when ESO is in Hall H, to a command, announcement of something really special. So, keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could definitely look out for that. Probably that will be, San Diego 2032?
Ooh, you're throwing it down.
Oh, yeah.
You heard it.
Exactly.
San Diego 2032. We'll be there.
I hope so. I truly, truly hope so. So you have to see. Definitely, if you guys went to San Diego, please write us. Let us know what you guys got or what your impressions of the con, even if you're at home. We definitely want to hear from you. Write us at earthstation1@esonetwork.com. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment with the...
This is Ashley Pauls with this week's Box Office Buzz. In theaters this weekend, we have Mission Impossible Fallout. Now, the interesting thing about the whole Mission Impossible franchise is that it's one of those franchises I kind of forget about in between movies. It always makes me feel really bad because these are really entertaining spy flicks with great action scenes. But for whatever reason, I always kind of tend to forget about them. It drifts off my radar. Then when a new one comes out, I'm always like, oh my gosh, I forgot how good the last one is. And the good news is that it looks like there's another great one to add to the franchise. Fallout is getting great buzz from critics, hitting about 96% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Of course, we have Tom Cruise returning as Agent Ethan Hunt. It's getting praise for some great action set pieces, so I'm really looking forward to this. Seems like we've had a little bit of a lull at the theater lately, so I'm looking forward to kind of this final shot of adrenaline before we wrap up the summer movie season. And can you believe that the summer movie season is already winding down? It feels like summer's going by way too fast. And if you're not interested in the next Mission Impossible, we have another movie coming out in theaters, which is Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I'm not really sure what to think about this one. I saw a trailer for it and didn't really seem like quite my thing. It's an animated parody style movie with some of the DC superheroes, and it's actually getting some good reviews that I've heard, calling it Deadpool for kids. Not really sure how that will work, as Deadpool's not really the first thing I think of when I think of kid-friendly, but that's out there too if you want to check that out. On DVD this week, we have the movie Ready Player One, which I am very excited about. I know we reviewed that one way back on ESO when it first came out, so it's exciting that it's coming to DVD. Give us all a chance to see it again, or if you haven't, definitely check it out. Lots of great geek nostalgic references, just a fun, good adventure movie. So again, if you haven't seen it yet, would highly recommend that you rent it. And finally, before we close out, I want to give a quick shout out to Disney and Lucasfilm, who made a super exciting announcement at Comic-Con this past week. The Clone Wars TV series is going to be coming back for a few more episodes to formally close out the series, and I am so happy about that. I'm a big fan of the Clone Wars. Whether you like the Star Wars prequels or not, I thought the Clone Wars did a really good job kind of expanding that and adding to it and fleshing out some things that maybe the prequels glossed over or didn't do so well. And was kind of sad that this TV series just kind of ended. We didn't really get a full ending as maybe the creators wanted. So I'm super excited that it's coming back, and it is going to be on Disney's streaming service. But darn it, I think I may actually have to sign up for this so I can see the Clone Wars. And that's it for this week. If you're looking for more entertainment-related content, be sure to check out my blog, boxofficebuzzab.wordpress.com.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as a dollar a month. Don't fret. All your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but now you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign up for the ESO Network, Patreon's easy. All you have to do is click on the link on the top navigation of the ESO Network website or go to patreon.com/ESO Network. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards. Hey everyone, welcome back. Now it's time for the Geek Seat segment, and our victim this week is Rocky Spurlock. Welcome to the Geek Seat, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome to the station. For those people who may not be familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name is Rocky Spurlock. I'm the promoter of FarleyCon in Eastern Tennessee, a toy and comic book convention we have coming up on August 11th.
Awesome. And this show's been going on for how long now?
This is our third year, but it'll be our fifth show. We do try to do a year.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. And how did FarleyCon get started?
I was an outlaw wrestler in Chattanooga, and me and a buddy of mine, he wrestled as Jay Farley. And he got out of wrestling, got into going to Comic Cons, got me going with him. And we always talked about doing a wrestling and a Comic Con combined. And he passed away in 2016 before we got to do it. So we started it as a benefit for his wife and his kids, and kind of kept it going to keep his name alive. And we've named it after him. That's why it's called Farley Con.
Yeah, that's an excellent story. I have to ask now, since you have been a wrestler and you've promoted and helped organize a convention, which is actually tougher?
organizing and doing the wrestling is definitely tougher. There's a lot more egos involved with wrestling than there is in the Comic Con.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. I know that there's a few in comic realms, but that's good to hear.
Yeah. So, I've noticed a lot of people in cons, seem to kind of work together more than they did in wrestling. Wrestling was kind of stab each other in the back, where so far everybody's been great in the Comic-Con world.
Well, yeah, and I think that's one of the great things about conventions is that, at least all the great ones anyway, is that there are, there's people behind it that care, and it's all really about bringing people together.
Oh, absolutely. It's been, like I said, it's been a wonderful experience so far.
So, yeah, 3 years, that's a lot under your belt. And so tell us about this year's, or at least the one coming up in August. What have you got going on?
We got a lot of great guests coming. We've got John Anderson. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. He was one of the Ravagers.
Awesome.
Aaron Brewster, he was in Captain America: Civil War, and a lot of these people have been in, more than just what I'm mentioning.
Oh yeah, but sure.
Some of their credits are just, it would take all night to go through it. We have Josh Turner, Scott Lane, Jason Stapleton. They were in Saviors from The Walking Dead. Kaylee Turner, so Josh's daughter. She was a child walker. And then she was also in Stranger Things 2.
Okay, that's cool.
And Savannah Jade Wehunt. She was Penny when the governor's daughter, and one of the two of that role. And she was also like a stunt double for Chandler Riggs, I believe it was.
Interesting. A stunt double. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she did some work with him, and I can't think of the little girl's name, but she played Carol's daughter on The Walking Dead. She done some zombie stuff with them, some walker stuff with them, teaching them, her how to be a walker.
Very nice. So a lot of local talent. That's awesome.
Yes. And being close to Atlanta, we're an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Atlanta. There's a lot of talent that's in that area.
Yes, absolutely. A lot to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very cool. Well, other than the guests, who do you like? What else do you guys do? It's a 1 day show, right? Do you have like any contests, panels? You have exhibitors, right?
Yes, we have a large vendor area. We have a large selection of comic book vendors, selection of toy vendors. We are doing a cosplay contest. We've had a couple other conventions that have donated, the bigger conventions have donated 3 day passes to their conventions for the cosplay winners. And that's the only contest we're doing. We do have things such as organizations like Pops for Patients. They collect the Funko Pops and donate them to children hospitals. We do take up a drive for them at each convention.
That's very
cool. Donate all those to the local hospital, children's hospital.
Look at that. Look at that, Faber. People giving up their pops.
I am so horrified. I don't even know what to say about that.
It's for a good cause.
It is for a good cause.
The kids love it.
Oh, of course it is. The kids love it. And you know what? It is for a good cause. And you know what? To bring happiness to the kids, I'd even give up some of my pops.
Oh, look out. Look out. So what else do you got going on?
Well,
that's a lot for one day show.
Yes, we do have a lot. We did have a lot of panels the first time we did the show at this location. We didn't have a lot of turnout for the panels. People kind of stayed in the dealer room.
Gotcha.
Our cosplay contest was the biggest turnout we had for the panels.
That makes
panel
sense.
Area. But yeah, it was, we're not really quite that big yet to have the panels, the full blown panels and have people still in the vendor room and fill up the panel room as well.
Yeah, and you've probably got, I mean, it's intimate enough that of a setting where you can just talk to the guests rather than having to have an organized panel session with them.
Oh yeah, the guests. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like something like where you're waiting in line to get to the guests. You can walk right up to the table, have a conversation with them. They are very interactive with the people coming to the show. And that's one thing we really want. We want the guests to be accessible. We want that personal contact with them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's something like when my family and I go to conventions, that's one of the things we enjoy is, you know, having our pictures made with the guests. We do a family portrait with each one of the selfies at their table. And that's something we enjoy. And we've seen a lot of other families that will come and do that as well.
And then FarleyCon is would you say it's extremely friendly, family friendly?
Oh yeah, it's extremely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. We have no, anything that's not something kids should see is not allowed.
Excellent.
You know, if it's not something that, if you tell you don't want your 5-year old or your grandmother to see, it's not for sale there.
Well put. Well, very cool. It sounds really good and it's for a good cause and everything. So, definitely want to encourage people to check it out. August 11th. It is in East Ridge, Tennessee, at the East Ridge Community Center. Anything else people should know about the show before we strap you down and start asking you questions?
Just come have fun. It's, you know, we try to keep the process only $5 to get in.
Nice. That's really important.
Kids 12 and under are free.
Excellent.
Yeah, we want it to be affordable. We want people to come in. If they do want to spend money, we want them to spend it with our vendors. You know, the basically just the cost to get in covers the building and the advertisement. And, you know, we want people to have fun. It's something to give back to my community in East Ridge as well.
Yes, well, it sounds great. I mean, it really does, and it sounds like you're definitely with the right mindset. So it's a great great way to honor your friend there. So, well, very cool. Well, Mike, I think it's time. I think he's ready. He's warmed up.
Well, you had him nice and calm and everything. He'll thrash around for a while once he sees what's coming.
Exactly. You know, it's typical.
It's cool. We can handle it. Rocky, are you ready for your first question in the Geek Seat, my friend?
Absolutely.
All right, Rocky. What was your favorite Geek Out moment?
My favorite Geek Out moment was booking my second FarleyCon show. And I'm a huge G.I. Joe fan. And when Larry Hama agreed to be a guest at the second show that we did, that was pretty much the absolute top for me. It took me a while to come down from that.
I could understand that completely. Larry Hama does kind of have that kind of effect on people too, which is pretty darn awesome. What was your most disappointing Geek Out moment?
When Larry Hama had to cancel that second show.
Oh no.
Yeah, I had booked him in July for the following April. And he contacted me in February, and his daughter was getting married the week after that FarleyCon. But the rehearsal was the same day, and he was going to have to cancel.
You can't argue with that, but damn, that's tough, man.
Oh, it was bad.
Dude, your heart probably was like, okay, I understand, but what geeks you out the most?
I did see him a few months later at a show in Knoxville.
Right.
And it was kind of okay when he remembered my name. And you know, that was awesome.
Okay, and, so that's, you know, not so bad.
I met him a couple of times and communicated. Yeah, it was great.
Okay, I can understand that. All right, so that's not so terrible. But, you know, What geeks you out the most?
Oh, conventions. Anything involving the cons. If there's a con going on, I've got to go. You know, if it's it really doesn't matter. It can be G.I. Joe stuff. It can be, you know, it's got Star Wars stuff. They've got Marvel, DC, you know, wrestling, all that stuff just kind of, you know, makes me geek out.
Oh, sure. No, I totally understand that. I'm sure you're like, you know, any kind of like geek stuff. And I'm sure after San Diego, you're probably like, oh my God, there's so much stuff. I think all of us are like that.
I look forward to that. I'd love to go. I look forward to it every year. And I do got to say that it was a huge proud father moment when my kids were discussing the Flash trailer.
That's awesome.
And debating which suit was better from the Justice League movie or the CW TV show.
You did something right, my friend. You truly did something right there.
Thank you.
What turns your geek off, though?
Oh. I really don't know. I don't know how to answer that one. I don't think there's anything that turns it off.
That's good. That's really positive.
You know, if it's something I don't agree with, I can at least, you know, debate about it. If somebody makes if somebody comes up to me and tells me that DC movies are better than Marvel movies, I can at least, you know, debate them and discuss it and then make them see why they're wrong.
But touché, my friend.
That
touché.
Really turns it off.
What fictional character would you like to meet the most?
Han Solo.
Why Han Solo?
He's just always been a hero of mine. It's just, I've loved the character. The first movie I remember seeing is at 3 years old was Empire Strikes Back. And he was the character that he had me hooked then.
Right.
I thought Boba Fett was the most interesting character or the coolest looking. And I knew if something that cool was trying to kill Han Solo had to be really, really cool.
Okay. I think that's totally fair. What fictional character would you not like to meet, though?
Superman.
Really? Why?
Yeah. To me, Superman is one of the most boring superheroes ever created.
Okay.
The only weakness he has is this, you know, glowing green rock. He has really no conflict with, you know, should I do this or should I not do this? Or, you know, if I decide I need money, I can easily rob this bank. He has none of the flaws that other superheroes have. And that just, to me, is not interesting.
No, I totally could understand that. Totally can. What is your favorite geek word, phrase, quote, or pose?
I know. Just Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo, you know, Princess Leia says, I love you. He says, I know. It doesn't mean that just... That was the coolest response.
He didn't have to say I love you too or anything. He says, I know.
Yeah, he just said, I know. And I love the way that it was. Once again, it showed his cocky side. He was confident. You know, here he is facing, for all he knows, death. And he was able to say, you know, I'm me. I'm not changing. I'm not breaking down. I'm brave in the face of death and not letting her see him outside of the way he has always been. Not letting her know that he was scared.
Sure.
And I think it really, when they came back to it in Return of the Jedi, when he told her that he loved her, and she replied, "I know." I think that really showed his character arc through the whole transition of where he realized that he did have friends, people that cared about him, and that he did care about these people as well.
I could totally see that.
Plus, it makes my wife mad when she tells me I love you, and I say, "I know."
And then she throws something at you, usually, I'm sure.
Yes.
Or she gives you the wife look. Ooh, ah, ugh. I get that all the time.
She did buy me some drinking glasses that had the words "I love you" and had Princess Leia's buns on it that was etched in it, and the other one said "I know" with Han Solo's blaster. So she's been a good sport about it.
Oh, that is awesome. You got a cool wife there.
Thank you.
What is your ideal geek occupation?
Co-pilot for the Millennium Falcon. I think that would just be awesome. No, I don't want to be a Wookiee. I'm a little short for a Wookiee. I'm more of an Ewok stature, I guess. But
well, you could be equally as – there could be short Ewoks or hair. You could be hairy enough to be – no, never mind.
I just think it would be so fun to, to have that lifestyle in that galaxy, to be able to experience the adventures that they go on and are not tied down to everyday work and grind. Is they have the freedom to go where they want to and to make their own way in the galaxy.
Sure. That totally makes sense. I could totally see that too. What geek occupation would you not like to do though?
Professor X, is pushing his wheelchair around for him.
Okay, so you don't want to be his caregiver. Got it.
Yeah, because you would never know if you really wanted to do it or not, or if it was just something that he was telling you you wanted to do this, or you would never know if you were mind controlled or not.
Nope, I totally
understand. Stay away from
him. Well, sure, totally understand that. Because, he could be, you'd be pushing him around. He says, "I hear what you're thinking." Yeah, that could be kind of sucky. All right, Absolutely. Rocky, are you ready for your final question in the geek seat?
Sure.
All right, here it comes. What is your ultimate geek fantasy?
Oh. I'm going to try to keep this.
Remember, we are kind of family friendly-ish.
Yeah. The Baroness from G.I. Joe and World Domination.
Okay. Gotcha.
Not necessarily in that order either.
Fair enough. Because, I could make so many comments, but then we'll have to beep a lot of stuff out. So let's keep it at that for right now. That is a pretty awesome fantasy.
We did meet Morgan Lofton, the voice of the Baroness, at the show in Knoxville a few years ago. And she was amazing. And when she talked to me in that Baroness voice, I felt like a little kid, with my first crush again.
Of course. Of course. I can totally understand that. That's always great when you can meet people like that. Well, Rocky, I got good news for you. You've made it through the geek seat. Congratulations. Mr. Mike Gordon, tell the young man what he's won.
You have won a lifetime subscription to the ESO Network, a value easily worth $2.80.
Yes.
Easily worth that. And that's just paper money. That's not really anything that people use these days. So definitely want to get everybody out that we can to, because you've only got a couple weeks, right? I mean, this thing's going to happen. So it's awesome. August 11th. Again, it is in East Ridge Community Center, East Ridge, Tennessee. Where can people go to find out more information online?
We have our website at FarleyCon.com, or you can check us out on our Facebook page. We have a Twitter page, but be perfectly honest, I'm kind of horrible about keeping the Twitter page updated. There is an Instagram page, too, that my wife handles. But mostly the website or the Facebook page is the best places to get information.
And we will have links to both in our show notes. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Rocky.
Hey, guys. I've enjoyed it, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment with the gorgeous ladies of professional wrestling. That means glow time, folks.
Everybody, Iconic Rock Talk Show moment. Michelle here, keeping up with ongoing developments in the Liam and Noel Gallagher of Oasis feud. Liam Gallagher has reached out to Noel for an Oasis reunion, says that he forgives him. I forgive you. Now let's get the big O back together and stop effing about the drinks are on me. This comes a couple of days after Liam accused Noel of cursing the English football team in the World Cup. Simon & Schuster is putting out a new series of children's books based on the music of the Beatles. First one will come out in January. It's an illustrated take on All You Need Is Love. And, of course, a graphic novel of Yellow Submarine will be out on August 28th. And a new study says that going to a concert every 2 weeks will increase your lifespan by up to 9 years. It says that live music increases feelings of self-worth, closeness to others, and mental stimulation. Increasing your well-being. The well-being was measured with psychometric testing and heart rate tests. It says that experiencing a gig for just 20 minutes can result in a 21% increase in feelings of well-being. It recommends that a concert every 2 weeks will score your happiness, contentment, productivity, and self-esteem at the highest level. You guys, Mike Faber is golden. He's going to live forever, you guys. Now, the thing about this study, what you should always ask with a study is, who paid for it? This particular study was paid for by O2, which is the huge, giant concert venue in London. So, seems pretty valid, but we'll take it for what it's worth. This has been the Iconic Rock Talk Show moment, and we will catch you next week.
Do you wake up in the middle of the night with cold sweats thinking about professional wrestling?
Have you ever done the Ric Flair strut thinking no one was watching, but they were? Woo!
Have you ever binge-watched 18 hours of The Ultimate Warrior only to want more?
If the answer is yes, then do we have the cure for you?
The Pro Wrestling Roundtable.
We talk about the past, present, and future of professional wrestling, brother.
We review wrestling movies and even jump in a time machine to review past wrestling events.
You can find us on iTunes and www.theprowrestlingroundtable.com.
Also on Twitter at podcastpwr.
Also join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/ESOPro.
We bring the squared circle to the round table.
In this world, there are good guys and there are bad guys. And I will not be bullied into submission.
You are reading the man's part.
Oh, God.
Would you like to start over?
Yes, I would.
I will not be bullied into submission.
Sorry to interrupt. Your wife is online, too?
I'm interested in real parts.
Got $83 in my bank account, and I don't know if I can pay my gas bill.
Ruth, there's an audition. They're looking for unconventional women, whatever that means.
Hello, ladies. I'm Sam Sylvia, and this is GLOW.
Sorry, what's GLOW?
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Are you hiring actors to play wrestlers, or are we the wrestlers?
Go!
Yes. Woo! Christ. Fucking actresses.
Okay, I want you to meet the star of GLOW, Debbie Egan.
Are you insane? Why is she here?
She's the alpha and you're the omega. Submit.
She might kill you.
This is Sebastian Howard, our producer.
This is my first Hollywood party.
There are drugs in the fucking robot.
Thank you.
Wrestling is about type. You're a sexy party girl. You're an Arab.
You mean stereotype.
Yes, bingo, exactly. You're a big black girl.
The fuck you say?
Oh. Lady wrestlers, I get it. Women can do anything men do, blah, blah, blah.
We'll get wild, wild, wild.
How'd that look?
I got chills.
Yeah, you would.
So you think I got money?
We're empowered. We're the heroes.
You want the show to happen.
This is the only place I get to do what I want to do.
People respect me here.
We got to shoot this thing in like 5 weeks. This could either feel dinky or it could feel epic. So let's give them what?
Blood.
Tits.
Storytelling. Storytelling.
This is about justice. This is about holding on to what's ours.
Hey everyone, now it's time for the main topic, and we are going to go into GLOW, and we are talking all about the Netflix series. Take it away, Mikey.
Well, very cool. I'm very excited because this is a series that is one of my favorite easily that has happened in the last couple of years. We've got two folks to joining us to talk all about it. Our good friend Mary Lou, who is joining us.
Hey guys.
Howdy. Welcome back to the main part of the station. This isn't just the Dragon Con party room.
I know, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It's been way too long. So, welcome back. We also have someone new joining us, Rebecca Marcus.
Hello.
Howdy. Welcome to the station.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
And we're excited to have you. Now, for those people who may not be familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Rebecca Marcus. I do a podcast called TV Tangents, and we cover all classic TV from the 1940s to the 1990s.
Wow.
And it is a fairly new podcast. My co-host Natalie and I are TV addicts, so we talk about everything.
So 1990 is considered classic?
Well, we're saying TV of the 20th century. That's our limit.
And you know what? And that's pretty fair. I mean, the show that we're going to talk about tonight, GLOW, the original Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling promotion lasted from 1986 to 1990. And so, yeah, I mean, it can be considered classic now because it was on right around that time.
Absolutely. And if I can get a hold of those old shows, I think we might have to do it on our show.
It's kind of crazy getting to know those. I know that I think Shout Factory, I want to say, has put out a collection of them, I think. And
awesome.
I think YouTube has, you know, obviously people have uploaded stuff to YouTube, especially with the popularity of this series. But let me start there. How many of you were really interested or basically aware of GLOW when it came out? Rebecca, did you know about the original promotion?
I had no idea. I was 11 in 1986. So, and I was very sheltered. I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of TV. So, I mean, not a lot of, you know, not the family kind of
sure.
programming. So I had no idea, but my husband apparently knew all about it for obvious reasons.
Well, was he into like the WWF at the time as well?
I don't think that he ever was. I think
okay.
that it was just GLOW.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Yes. Again, for obvious reasons.
Exactly.
Mary, what about you?
No. I had when I watched the Netflix show, I didn't even know that GLOW had been real. So no, I had no idea. But
so,
wrestling isn't something I'd really ever had a particular interest in. And also, I was not even born when GLOW started, so it's not something I would have known about.
So what attracted you to watch the series? So was it just word of mouth and you're just like, I have to check this out? Or was there something else?
I didn't actually watch it when it first came out. I was like, That seems like something weird that I may not be interested in. But I'm always looking for a show to like watch while I'm like getting ready in the morning, like while I'm putting my makeup on and stuff. And, you know, I'd gotten through Nailed It and Queer Eye. And I was like, well, you know, this Netflix show is like cool costumes. You know, I'm in it for that. So I just started watching it because I thought the costumes were cool. Even though people had said it was good, I hadn't really heard anything else other than like, oh, the show's good. You know, I didn't really know what it was about. But I'm really glad I watched it. I ended up totally loving it.
Cool. Cool. Mike, what about you? Were you familiar with the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling back in the 80s?
Of course, because that was my college years. And, you know, we used to basically sit around and play video games and watch Gorgeous Ladies of Professional Wrestling. Usually it was on something like at 12:30 at night. And, you know, we would come back from the bars or come back from parties and such on campus and usually like, what the hell is this? Or just sit around and watch and the really bad skits and the really funny things. It was really interesting.
When you say interesting, was it something that, you know, you were, I mean, besides the obvious reasons, was it compelling at all? Or was it something that after it was over, you're just like, yeah, that was what it was.
That's what it was. It wasn't like something we got to be home to watch this or anything. It was, right. It was just like, if we were done and, you know, not doing stuff, we'd hang out and watch it or something, or, you know, flip the channels. Oh, Glow is on, you know, that type of thing.
Was there any particular character that you remember from back then distinctly?
Well, Mount Fuji, of course.
Right. Right.
And she's represented it a bit in the new show. And also, you know, there's just a couple other, you know, characters, which I don't even remember the names of them, but mm-hmm. I do remember, you know, seeing, oh, wait a minute, there's Godiva. She had the British accent, and I thought she was hot for because of that. And, you know, characters like that, but it was overly sexist. And then they had the whole thing with Sylvester Stallone's mom involved with it, and, you know, things like that I remembered. But it wasn't like there was anyone who stood out. But then going back when the TV show came on and trying to compare the wrestlers they had on that to seeing who was in the new ones and the old ones.
In 1986 through 1990, those 4 years are exactly my college years. And I had no idea the show existed. I didn't watch a lot of TV at that time. I was too busy doing college things, I guess. Cause I can't even remember. I didn't even really watch, cause around that time too, Next Generation started, Star Trek, The Next Generation in syndication. And I didn't even really watch that until I think the third season. So yeah, I was really not aware of a lot of what was going on with TV at the time. So this just completely, and I wasn't really into wrestling at that time either. So this completely like did not hit my radar. So I was aware of it later on because I'd heard, oh, there was an all girls, wrestling promotion back in the day, but I didn't know anything more about it. So when this show started, I was intrigued. But, and because I am a wrestling fan, a pro wrestling fan now, but I think that was drew me in. And the other thing that drew me in when I first heard about this show, because I have been watching it since it premiered, was Mark Maron, because I like Mark Maron's podcast a lot. So, and I knew he was funny, and I was looking forward to watching him act because I'd never seen him act in anything before.
Oh, exactly. I had no plans on actually watching the Netflix series at all when they first announced it and even when it first was on. And then I just heard people, like friends of mine, you know, people in the ESO group or people in...
People like me.
Yeah, you actually were one of the people who said, oh, dude, you got to watch this. And Judy had heard similar from her friends. But it's like, do you want to give the first episode a watch? We ended up binge watching the first 5 episodes one night. That's how much she liked it.
Yeah. And it's really easy to do. I mean, this show is like, it's like really like, you know, potato chips, right? It's like, once you start one, you can't just do one.
Yeah. And so, it's so easy because they're just 30 minutes. Like right. So many shows are an hour, you know, and on Netflix, they're like a full hour. So it was nice. It's nice to just have something that's only 30 minutes that you can kind of burn through.
Now, were any of you familiar with any of the other, I mean, I mentioned Mark Maron, But I understand that Alison Brie and I think some of the creators were responsible for Orange is the New Black. Is that correct? Which is a pretty big series, but I didn't watch it. I'd heard good things about it, but I wasn't familiar with them at the time. So were you anybody here familiar with that show or familiar with that? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that connection though.
Yeah, I think so. I'm questioning it. So yeah. I'm going to try to look it up while we're chatting, but, I think Alison Brie was in that though. Is that correct? Or am I making that up?
Not that I remember.
I don't remember her in it. I remember her in other shows, but I don't remember her.
She was in Community. Sorry.
Yeah. Cause I remember that.
Yeah. It's hard for me to place any of the actors because their costuming and their hair and makeup are done so well that I have to look them up and see what they actually look like in real life.
Yeah,
as opposed to in the 80s.
I was familiar with Betty Gilpin because she had just been on a few episodes, a recurring character on Elementary, which I like a lot, playing a completely different character and nailing it. She was so good in that. She was also in American Gods. And so I was aware of her that way, but she didn't draw me into this. I was not like, oh, she's in this. So that wasn't like a big pull. My understanding is the story goes that the producers saw the documentary that was made recently about GLOW, and they were inspired to make a series about it. Now, I don't know if it's for legal reasons or just creatively, they just decided not to tell a very play-by-play accurate depiction of the promotion, but there is a lot of inspiration. I have watched the documentary, which is amazing. I definitely recommend anybody who is familiar with the show, who likes the show, and even if you don't like the show, to watch the documentary. I think it's really just fascinating. But you can see while watching the documentary, because I watched the documentary in between seasons 1 and 2, and I was amazed. I'm like, oh, that's that character. Oh, that's that. So they did model a lot of the characters on them, but maybe for legal reasons, they couldn't use them per se, or maybe they just didn't want to because they wanted artistically to go a different way.
Mm-hmm, exactly. They didn't want this to become a true biography. They wanted to do their own thing with the characters, and they touch on a lot of different topics on the show that, you know, that shouldn't be attached to just one person. Cause if it didn't happen to the real characters in real life, why limit these people on the TV show for that?
I have seen some criticism, especially from our wrestling buddies, not mentioning any names, folks at the round table. That they were disappointed because it wasn't it wasn't accurate to what happened. So they were expecting some sort of, you know, docuseries, I guess. So I guess when you do that, when you kind of play loose with, you know, something that actually happened and people that were involved, I think it's, you know, kind of like for some people you get a blowback because it's not accurate.
No, I agree. It's interesting because, you know, the wrestling, you know, what they did on the show, you know, they had wrestling trainers, you know, who came out and trained these girls. And, you know, a lot of people who are familiar with WWE and WCW would know the name Chavo Guerrero.
Oh, yeah.
And Chavo was the one who trained the women on the show, even though a couple of them actually do have professional wrestling chops.
And that's just keeping in the family because Hector Guerrero, Chavo's dad, was the one who trained the original GLOW wrestlers.
Oh yeah, but the actress who plays Welfare Queen, it was a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was she, Queen Kong?
I didn't know that, but you know what? That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing her move and stuff, you could tell she's really good.
But she's one of the better characters. I love the story arc they had with her this year with her son. It was a lot of fun.
That was so good.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's a lot of amazing wrestling going on in there, and it's not just tricks. You know, it's not just drama. There's a lot of actual wrestling going on there. So I can only imagine how long that took to learn. Coming from not a wrestling background for some of those actresses.
I think one of the fun episodes from season two is where they show you, like, it's an episode of GLOW. Everybody's in character. They show the wrestling as it. So it's like you're watching an episode of GLOW.
Yes.
And you can definitely see that these actresses are wrestling. I mean, they're going through these moves, and some of them look pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm. The Good Twin is episode 8. That's my favorite episode. That's the one that was all TV and music videos, and it was all campy.
All
and
sketches.
That was my absolute favorite. It was amazing.
It is a great homage to the 80s.
Yeah, I love it.
And speaking of that, so how important to you guys, especially since you weren't familiar with GLOW, how important is it, like, that it takes place in the 80s? Is that a draw for you?
I think it's hugely important to the story, obviously, because the situation that the women are in and the attitude of the other people around them. But I think what they did for the 80s is great with the costuming and all of that, because they didn't make it like a modernized looking version of the 80s. It really looks really authentic to the 80s. And I love that about the show.
Yeah, you've got the costumes and the music.
Yes, and the music and when they use tape for filming, and it's all grainy. I love all of that.
Right. Yeah, because not only, I mean, man, it's like, it makes me feel so old, because I'm like, wow, we've come so far.
Exactly. It's very nostalgic. I love it.
That's a good way to put it. Yes, nostalgic. That's a good way to put it. Mary, do you like the 80s? Depicted?
Actually, the 80s is not generally like an aesthetic I go for. It's not normally a show that interests me, which I guess is probably why it took me so long to watch GLOW. Just because that's not really my jam. Like, if it had been like in the 90s or something, then I probably would have been really into it. But you know, that ended up not mattering.
I really want to talk about the characters, because I think for TV series in particular, if you don't have compelling characters, then you don't have a show. Like, I think movies sometimes can lean on, you know, plot and story more and action more. But for a TV show to be really worth its salt, I think you really need it. It's all boiled down to the characters. And GLOW has them in spades. So I guess I'll start with the main character, really, if you can call her that, which is Ruth. We in the first episode we see Ruth, and I don't know, I think a lot of people were confused too. I know a lot of people who were turned off by that first episode because they didn't like Ruth at all, because Ruth makes some very poor choices in that first episode.
Oh, very much so. You know, the very first time you see her, she's auditioning for, you know, the TV show, and she's reading the wrong role. And then, you know, of course, she's like, you know, why can't I be in this role? And they were like, you're the secretary for this part. And it was just like, oh, and she's coming off as trying to be more than she's Hollywood at the time wants her to be. And, you know, you feel bad for her and everything. And then she has her sex scene. And, you know, we later find out is her best friend's husband. And it's just like, it just didn't put a bad, good taste in my mouth for her. And, you know, it was just like, oh, she's not very likable. And, you know, but then she grows on me. And by the end of the first season, you know, when she does the whole Zoya and comes up with the character and, you know, goes through that, she becomes, you start cheering for her. And then in the second season, she is one of the main characters that you're rooting for. And I like her as in Ruth more than I'd like Liberty Bell in a lot of ways in the second season. So it's just really interesting.
I really liked the second season. Like, the first season was definitely good. I enjoyed it a lot. But I think I like the second season even more because of, like, those character stories. Like, those were so good. And those people that had kind of been set up in the first season were still kind of caricatures. Like, you didn't, you know, really get into a lot of those, the inner workings of those people. And you really did in the second season. You got to see, like, what makes them tick. And I just thought that was really awesome and well done.
Yeah, I think Ruth is, she wants the same thing that Debbie wants, but she's not as strong as Debbie. She's not as assertive as Debbie. And so she's kind of a doormat. You know, she tried to help Sam. Sam kind of, you know, tossed her down, stepped on her dreams, and she just kind of backs away from that. So, I think that she and Debbie are similar, but very much opposite in that.
I'm glad it also came to a head in the second season. And when her...
or foot.
Or, that's true. A good, you know, her foot was broken. And, but I think they needed to get it out. And I love that scene at the hospital. It was just awesome.
That was really good.
Yeah, when you have characters and you just let them simmer for a while and then, you know, you get to have it out, that's really rewarding, I think. And I like how the fact that, you know, they did, but then they both realized it's you know, we can get over it. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't a friendship ending or, you know, like, you know, we're never going to see each other kind of fight. It was more like a fight that, you know, some people who love each other have, and then they get it all out of their system, and then they move on.
Which was good, because I was getting really tired of their, you know, back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought they might not make up, because they're not really very good for each other, like, friend-wise. They do a lot of stuff that, personally, I might find unforgivable. So I was a little surprised that they made up in the end, but I guess they needed to for the story.
Well, there's still work in progress, I think. And that's the beauty of these shows, right? You don't want them to, like, not be around each other, because then it's not fun.
Right. Yeah.
So those are the main two, of course. And then we have our other wrestlers. Mary, is there anyone that in particular that stands out for you as being just a fun character to watch?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Welfare Queen's amazing. We already talked about her a little bit, but I just think she's really complex and interesting. And I just think that actress is so likable. I feel like I've seen her before, but I don't actually know if I've ever seen her in anything, but I just find her so likable in the way she connected with Liberty Bell when the guys were treating her like crap. Like, I just thought that was really cool and made her make sense, you know, with the way she was with her son and stuff. I liked that a lot.
Yeah. That episode where, she bonds with Debbie, over, you know, being parents, being mothers, and before their big match, I just thought was really, really well done. I think that's another true testament to great characters, is that you can mix and match them. Like, you can put different characters that you wouldn't normally expect to be in a scene together, suddenly are in a scene together, and it works really wonderfully because they're just so good. And there was a lot more of that in season two than there was in season one. I mean, as good as season one was, I think it was more of an introduction, let's get to know everybody. And by season two, we're like, okay, we know everybody, let's just mix and match them and have fun with them.
I think they have very diverse characters on this show, more than you really, I think, notice in season one. Mm-hmm. They're diverse personalities, they're ethnically diverse, and their body types are very diverse. They're not all a bunch of stick figure women wrestling around. I think it's a good representation. And like I said, it's not a glamorous depiction of this. It's very realistic.
I think that's an important part too, and I think that's important to credit the producers. So I want to do this correctly. I looked it up, and I do know that one of the producers, Carly Mensch, was the supervising producer on Orange is the New Black, and she also was a supervising producer on Nurse Jackie. The other woman who's the co-producer or co-creator of this as well, she was also Liz, I can't remember. I don't know if I can pronounce her last name. It's F-L-A-H-I-V-E. Flive, maybe? I'm sorry for butchering that. But she was an executive producer on Nurse Jackie as well. So they both came from Nurse Jackie. One of them does have ties to Orange is the New Black, though. But to your point, I want to give them credit, because what a subversive way to get a diverse cast in a show, by having a show that hired a bunch of diverse people because they were all stereotypes. So that's it's true. Like they can really play with that and really go deeper with that. It makes perfect sense because of the premise of the show. I love mm-hmm. that. So, Rebecca, what is another character that you find compelling?
I think my favorite characters, it goes between Junk Chain, the original Junk Chain. I can't right. remember the character's real name. I think she and her husband are my favorite couple on the show. They're wonderful. And Machu Picchu, I think, would probably be my favorite.
I was worried when season two started, because I thought we were losing two characters mm-hmm. from season one, because there was no Junk Chain. She mm-hmm. had been replaced, and he had fired the Viking Queen. I think that's her. Yeah. And so I thought, oh, my God, we're losing two characters right off the bat. That's unfortunate. But then I think in the third episode, we see Junk Cherry try her new role, and then she comes back.
Oh, and she was so bad at that.
Yes, she was. She really was. And
I feel bad for her, though, because that's like what all of the girls on the show wanted, was that job, you know, and then for it not to be right for her, like, I just hated that. I mean, it was good for the story, but it made me sad.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought the arc with her was really well done. And bringing in a new Junk Chain, and then her giving up that mantle and going with a new one, reinventing herself as Black Magic, was just, yeah, she was very, she had a great arc.
Which Black Magic is so much better.
And it was interesting because Black Magic also was kind of a spinoff of a character from the original Glow too.
Yeah. Well, they all are.
Oh, of course. Know?
They all are. I mean, it's amazing watching that. Just watching that documentary, I was like, I was just looking at them, and I was really surprised. And I almost wish I hadn't watched the documentary before I'd seen season two, because in the documentary they interview the two women that started off as the old biddies, right? And in the documentary they have these two actors, these two performers that start off and Glow as old women. But then they got tired of that shtick and they reinvent themselves as rockers, like rock and roll girls. And so when Stacey and Dawn in the show season two decide to reinvent themselves as Ozone and Nuke, I was like, oh, I should have seen this coming, because that's what happened. That's what really happened. So I thought that was almost a spoiler.
Even though they stole the idea from the other girl. That was so
cool. Yes. From is it Arthes?
Yes. I don't want to be a terrorist anymore.
She was just she's the regrettable. She's the one that's probably having the least fun with her character, I think, out of all of them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I loved her story with the new Junk Chain, though. Like, I just thought that was so sweet, and I liked the LGBT representation thrown in there a little bit. That was pretty cool, but. She's just such a sweet character, and for her to find a little happiness in, like, all that stuff they made her do was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Her whole the whole dancing sequence that she got to do was very cool. Mike, nice. What about another character? What about a character for you?
Oh, well, you have to be She-Ra.
Sheila, the She-Wolf?
Sheila the She-Wolf is so awesome.
She is really cool. Like, I just, like, she's the character on the show that I never know what she's going to do next.
No, you don't. And sometimes she's like the total outcast, doesn't want to be around anybody. And then the next scene, you know, she's roller skating at the roller skate, you know, rink, looking for Ruth, you know, because Ruth was her support and her roommate and everything. It was pretty awesome.
The second season, when she develops her fans that dress like her and everything, is just such a hoot, because no one else, as much as everybody likes all the other characters in the audience, I mean, she's got her own, like, literally pack, wolf pack.
Oh, when the guy showed up dressed as her? And she was like, no, and walked away. It was just, that was just awesome. And
I also like the fact that she has great moments. I mean, she really is like a lone wolf, but she has these wonderful moments where, like, as soon as Ruth was hurt, like, she, like, the two guys are kind of jockeying for, you know, to be the hero for Ruth. But it's she that comes in and is like, no, she's good. I got this. I'm taking care of her. Like, she adopts her. She thinks of Ruth as a cub almost, I think.
To a point, yes, I could totally see that. And that's the great thing about it. And, you know, she's, you know, when she has so many issues also, she's hiding from the real world because, you know, she's a blonde and, you know, she puts on all this heavy makeup so people don't recognize her. She's living in the character almost.
Yeah. Yeah, she is great. Well, I was actually going to pick Sheila before you did, Mike. So I will go with the main man himself, Sam Mark Maron. Mark, like I said, he was one of the draws for me to watch this show. And boy, he doesn't disappoint. I mean, he is in so much of it, this show. But I don't think he, like, overplays it. And I don't think he overshadows the women. Instead, he is the perfect foil and sort of underhand supporter of all of them. And Mark is just phenomenal. I definitely think that this is a great performance. And I was kind of surprised when they were dishing out Emmy nominations that he and other people on this show didn't get a nod.
It is surprising because some of the stories in this season, especially season two, were just amazing. And, you know, Globe might have fallen between the cracks, though. I know it was nominated for Best Comedy Series.
Yes.
So, and I would not be surprised if it won it. I would not at all. But it's just interesting to see. Acting-wise, I could have seen a couple of it, but, you know, some people just don't take it seriously. But Maron definitely should have been up for something.
Yeah, I thought especially the season two with the arc in his daughter. Now, and the mother coming in and his, you know, working through that and everything. Now, obviously, you can't have a male and a female talk together on a show without having some sort of, you know, tension, right? I don't think I noticed any tension between Ruth and Sam in season one, but it was obvious to me in season two where they were kind of going with it. Are we Ruth and Sam fans for that relationship to develop or not? Rebecca?
I think I can see where he kind of had a love-hate relationship with her himself, where he liked her, but he didn't want to admit it. I think I could a little bit see that in season one. And I definitely saw this, you know, starting in season two. I can't decide if she's better off with him or with the cameraman. I mean, he's a gruff older man, and I just don't know. I don't know how I want it to go. I guess I'll let them lead me wherever they want.
Mary, do you have a dog in the fight?
I don't know. At first I was like really not into it, like at all. And I was like, what is happening? This is not cool. And then like when, you know, she starts, you know, kind of helping out with the kid and stuff when the mom shows up. And I was kind of like, I guess it's growing on me, but I'm okay with it not happening. I feel like that relationship would just end up being really volatile and obnoxious later. So I'm pretty fine with it not happening.
So far. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in Vegas, right?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Well, we're going to stay in Vegas for a while, probably. Oh, so.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know how long this show is going to play out or whatever, but I'll be really curious to see as the show continues, because one thing that the documentary really doesn't get into, and I've seen some things online or everything, is exactly what happened with GLOW and why it failed. So I'm really curious to see how the creators of the show kind of write it, because it's going to be really interesting. To be honest, I don't know how I feel. I think I'm kind of just like, let's see what happens, because I'm not sure that Ruth is capable of, it seemed like really convenient that she was running to the cameraman, after Sam made a move on her. So I don't know if that's a healthy decision that she's made there.
That's a good possibility, not, but she's been interested in him the whole season, and she's had so many roadblocks put up for it, and I'm glad she did. I was very happy to see her happy and not angsting over things. And truthfully, I think Ruth saved the show. It was all her ideas, doing the comedy bits, writing the stuff with Zoya's good twin, and the whole thing. And that was a mainstay of the actual show, was doing the comedy bits. And you could say that, because Marin's character just wanted wrestling. He didn't even want to see that opening that she created at the mall.
Right.
And everything. And it was awesome.
Yeah, I really thought it was appropriate to give Ruth the belt or the title.
The crown.
The crown, yes, at the end. Like, I thought that was really nice. The show could have ended with that, really.
Oh, it definitely could have. It would have been
if they decided to not pick it up for a third season, it could have really ended that way.
And you just wouldn't know what happened.
Yeah. One thing I was surprised in season two, that we spent a lot of time with Sebastian. Bash. I'm not sure that I really appreciated spending as much time with Bash and his storyline. I don't know. How did you guys feel?
I like him better in this season than I did last. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because people are starting to grow on me, but I do like him in this season. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with the way that his story's going, but I like him.
Okay.
Well, you have to remember, at that time, it was really hard for a lot of people to come out of the closet.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's so obviously closeted, he doesn't even realize that, they were walking into a gay bar and to the club when they went in.
And I think he was about the only one who realized it after, once he looked around.
Yeah, and he was just like, oh. And then the whole scene with, getting the call from the hospital up in San Francisco. It was just like, and he's going to be one of those people, and it's probably going to be over the next couple seasons if that goes that far, that, he's going to be married, to Britannica, and basically he's going to be, it would probably be a sexless type marriage because he's trying to prove something that he's not gay, but he has those feelings.
Wait, do you guys think Bash is gay?
Really?
I didn't get that at all. I must have totally missed that.
I actually didn't either, but.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I felt like he was just like a uncomfortable straight dude in that gay bar scene.
Yeah, I felt like his attitude towards the whole situation was very typical 80s, the scrubbing down of his entire house, the overreacting and all that kind of thing. I don't know if I got that he was gay from that. I
think he's closeted gay. I don't think he's I don't think he's out. Yeah. He's not out. He is so not out. Obviously.
All right. I'll keep my brain open to that. But I didn't get that from the show.
I think he's conflicted. I mean, obviously he's got a love for his butler. And I think that's confusing to him. So I do think that that's that is maybe reasons to suspect that he may be gay, but I don't know that, you know, I don't know where they're going. And I think you're right. I think he's afraid of confronting it himself. And so he ran to the marriage as well, because I don't think he really has strong feelings for Britannia.
Exactly.
Britannica. So, and I don't think he's just helping her out of the goodness of his heart. But, I mean, I don't feel too sorry for her, because she's just married him for, you know, her green card anyway.
Oh, God. Yeah, Muffin. So, he was going to marry the Muffin Man?
I guess that kind of makes it make more sense, because I didn't really understand why he threw in with Britannica. I mean, obviously he was upset about his friend dying, and I kind of just thought maybe it was like a life's too short, my friend died and now I'm going to be impulsive sort of move. But it didn't really make sense. But I guess if he is in the closet, I guess that would sort of make more sense for him to prove to himself that he's not gay.
Exactly. Think about it. It just, it's all the symbols were there. And because even like this first season, Judy was like, that's his partner is the butler, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, it was just like when we were watching it this season, because we've had friends who had gotten married, had kids, but were secretly closeted because they couldn't come out because of religious reasons, family reasons and stuff. But, you know, as things got more liberal, you know, things, they broke away and actually came out of the closet. And we saw a lot of that in Bash.
Did I mistaken, or because I don't remember them actually saying it, but I take it to mean that his butler died of AIDS. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, because I mean, that was obviously a big 80s thing. Well, I mean, it still is, but I mean, right in the 80s, it was.
Technically, he died of pneumonia.
Right. But the fact that he wanted everything scrubbed down and all that kind of stuff made me think that it was AIDS.
Yes.
Yes, sir. And the hospital said that they'd have a hard time finding a coroner who would take his body.
Right.
Which was also a big.
Yeah, because it was a big scare back in the 80s.
Yeah, and nobody knew where it was coming from.
Right.
How you could get it, or, you know, I mean, stay away from saliva, stay away from everything.
Yeah, so that's a really big 80s moment there. So, well, very cool. Well, we've almost exhausted our time. I do want to just go around the round table here and see if anybody's got a favorite moment that they want to shout out about the show. Rebecca, is there anything that really, what's the reason that you watch Glow? What is it about the series that you enjoy it, the first season, second season, and on to hopefully third and fourth and many more?
Well, I originally watched it, like I said, because my husband wanted to watch it because he had, you know, watched the show in the 80s. And I wasn't really into it the first episode. But then, you know, when the storylines really got going, I think that's when I really got into it. So I really enjoyed the second season. Just, you know, the characters. And I think they're doing a better job this season of showing their wants and what they want from life and what they need. And like I said, just the diversity of these characters. I really love it. And again, I love the nostalgic 80s because, you know, I'm an old TV girl. So
real quick, does he enjoy it, even though he liked the original, or is he kind of mixed feelings about it?
I'm pretty sure he's enjoying it.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially the wrestling scenes, but you know,
yeah, because you're right. They are authentic. They are really authentic. Yeah,
yes.
It's amazing. Mary, what about you?
Really the camaraderie between all the women on the show. I'm a sucker for a good, like, girl power flick. But really, this is just like, I don't know, just seeing how all the women help each other and they end up truly caring about each other, even though, you know, when they came in the first episode and the first season, they like really saw each other as competition and as, you know, not their friends. And so for that to develop into like real friendship, and I just thought that was really cool. So definitely the camaraderie between the women in the show.
Yeah. Mike?
Oof. See, I originally started watching it because, A, the history, the advice that people were giving me, and also Marc Maron. And Maron played such a skank in this series. It was hard to like Sam. It really, really was. He even tried coming on to his own daughter, even though he didn't realize that it was his own daughter at the time.
And but that one line after he finds out is really disgusting.
Oh, God, yeah. And Sam was awesome the second season. You know, he's still a jerk, but he was trying to do the right thing. And, you know, he was so wrapped up in his own head that, you know, it took Ruth to get him out of it. And I think that's where he's finding the attraction to her. And I just like all the different characters. I like that the women aren't perfect. I like that the women aren't fake. These are real women that you could see on the street. And, you know, it's just awesome. And none of them, you know, a lot of them didn't plan on being athletes. They went to an audition to, you know, they're out of work actresses or trying to get into the acting field. And I loved how in the first, you know, audition scene, this is important. Half the audience leaves, you know? So it's just awesome. It was a lot of fun, and I liked where it went. And I love how they ended it where the TV series pretty much began.
I love the show. I think it's really well produced. I think it's well written, very well written. I think the characters are well developed. I think the acting is spot on. There's not one person that one character that I go, ugh, when they're on the screen. And that's tough. Because usually with shows, there's at least one or two characters that I'm like, oh, I'm really not into this, but this character, but not with this one. I mean, even ones that don't get a lot of scenes early on, they'll pay off and they'll have a scene or two that'll be great. I mean, I really like. I just real quick, while Ruth was in the hospital, there's a really, really, really great scene between Sam and Arthi. And I was like at the vending machine. That's like two characters that you wouldn't even expect to be like talking to each other, really. And yet they have this really phenomenal scene there. So it's just really well done. I like the fact that it, you know, it's involved obviously with it involves wrestling, but it's respectful to wrestling, to pro wrestling. I'm impressed with these women's abilities to wrestle. I have no doubt that if they were put in a match, in a real match in the WWE, that they could hold their own. I really do believe that they are pretty outstanding what they've shown they can do. And and the package, it's just a great package. And plus, you know, I grew up in the 80s. I mean, even though I wasn't aware of this show, I'm aware of a lot of things in the 80s that this show references. And I'm like, whoa, it is kind of a trip down memory lane, seeped in nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. So, the music was even such like, oh, I love that song, you know.
Oh, yeah. It just ends. Every episode ends with a track that I'm like, yep, that's in my 80s playlist. That I remember when that came out. Very, very awesome. I definitely recommend it. I don't know if anybody who hasn't seen it is still listening to it at this point, because we spoiled the crap out of it. But if they haven't seen it, they need to watch it, because it's really an awesome show. So I'm glad I got to talk to you about it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to A Geek Girl's Take. I'm your host, Angela, and this week, this Geek Girl is talking about my weekend working at San Diego Comic-Con. So for the last 2 years, I've worked at a booth in the dealer's hall at San Diego Comic-Con. I don't get to do much at the con since I'm working opening to closing at the booth, but this year I got to do a couple cool things and see some of the trailers that premiered at Comic-Con, but from my hotel room. The best thing I got to do while I was there was this really, really cool Tomb Raider experience that was promoting the new game Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It was a small pop-up event held at a bar in the gas lamp district, and you had to have an ID to get in. You had to sign a waiver before going in as well, since there were snakes and you could eat bugs if you wanted to. So me, being the adventurous type that I am, I was all for this bug thing. I tried crickets, worms, and ants, and got a t-shirt with a new game logo on it for doing so. I think I was probably the most enthusiastic person that the girl had had all day, since I was totally into this. They also had two giant snakes and some small ones that you could hold if you wanted to. I got in late, sadly, so I had to choose between bugs or snakes, since the event closed at 10 p.m. and I got in around 9:25. You also had the opportunity to play the new game as well if you wanted to sit there at one of the computers in the bar. I did get to walk around more at nighttime this year than I did last year, and I got to see some of the cool pop-ups in Petco Park, which I'm still sad I didn't get to go get a photo with the giant Guild Wars 2 Griffin, because it looked awesome. Which, getting to see all of that stuff was really fun, since I didn't get to do that last year, and I was basically confined inside the dealer's hall and then walked back to my hotel each night because it was just such a tiring year. The trailers that I got to see in my hotel room after the con when I found out that they were premiered were the Aquaman trailer, which I didn't hate, and I do want to see the movie. I saw the trailer for Glass, which I'm really, really excited for, and it looks really awesome. I am not in love with the Teen Titans trailer. I will probably still watch the movie, but I am not in love with that trailer at all. I am excited for the news of a Steven Universe film on Cartoon Network. That is going to be awesome. And I can't wait to actually get to see the Shazam trailer when I get a chance to, because so many people have told me that it's funny or it's horrible or whatever, and I want to have my own opinion of it. Overall, this year at Comic-Con was fun for someone who gets to work the event the entire time and doesn't really get to see stuff. A bunch of my awesome friends stopped by and said hi to me or brought me drinks and snacks, which was also really, really nice. Thank you everyone who did that. You guys are awesome. And yeah, it was overall just a really nice, chilled, laid-back year at Comic-Con. I did lose my voice a little bit because I was talking all weekend working, but overall, I had a good time. So thanks, guys, for listening to A Geek Girl's Take. What will I talk about next week? Well, you're going to have to listen to find out.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Now it's time for the ESO Network Con Report.
Well, we've got two conventions coming up in August where you can find ESO Network personnel, starting with August 17th through the 19th. That is the Potterverse Convention in Rockville, Maryland. Geek Girl herself, Angela Pritchett, will be there, and it's going to be a great event, for especially if you're a Potter fan. It's a great celebration of all things Harry Potter. So, and of course, this year with the new movie come out, it's going to be a special get-together. So, as special as that is, it's not nearly as cool and as special as the big, big, big con that's coming up August 31st through September 3rd. This should be no surprise to anybody who listens to this show, but it is, of course, Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia. My favorite convention of the year. I don't mind saying it. I love other shows to death, but this one is my favorite. It's in my heart. And this year, it's going to be one to remember, I think. There's going to be no shortage of ESO Network folks there. Mike and I, of course, will be there. Ashley, if you listen to our podcast on movie reviews, you know Ashley. If you read her reviews on the website, you know Ashley. She's going to be at her first ever Dragon Con. We're so excited for her. ESW, Mary Ogle will be there. The Flopcast, of course, Kevin will be there. Angela Pritchett, Geek Girl herself, will be there. Jason and Rita from Transmissions from Atlantis. The Nerd Bliss has got a crew, man. Chris, Tina, Eric, and Dan. Man, they are going to like take over Dragon Con just themselves. Thomas from the Geekly Oddcast is going to be there. And Joe and Brad, the Cigar Nerds. In addition to all of those folks, there's still ones that I'm waiting to hear back on confirmation, but there's going to be so many friends of the station there. In fact, I dare say anybody who goes to Dragon Con is a friend of the station automatically.
Well, and, duh.
Yes, and you can hear all about this year's Dragon Con and the Dragon Con report that we put out every month. We've got a very special one coming up in a couple weeks, or actually in next week, actually. We'll be recording it this week, so you want to check that out. We're doing something a little different, but I think it's going to be very special. So I'm really looking forward to that, and as well as seeing everybody at the big event. That's all we've got for the ESO Network Con report. But if you've got a convention that you're going to be at, even if it's Dragon Con, and you want to rant and rave about it, please reach out to us because we love talking about conventions.
So that's going to wrap up another episode of the Earth Station 1 podcast. I want to thank our guests for joining us. Rebecca, you made it through your first episode with us. Congratulations.
I did. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. How can people find you?
You can find me on my podcast. It's called TV Tangents. That's T-A-N-G-E-N-T-S. And we are on Google Play, iTunes. You can find us on shoutengine.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. I also have my own website, rjmarcus.com. That's with a K. I am a published author. You can find my latest book there, The Crazy One. It just came out this month.
That is awesome. Mike, I think we might need to have this young lady back and visit the Geek Seat. What do you think?
Yes, definitely.
That would be wonderful.
Well, let's talk after the show. And of course, Mary, thank you so much. I'm sure you're happy that you didn't have to read a guest list tonight.
This definitely was a little livelier than my usual reading of the guests.
Anything you want to shout out about?
Well, you can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all that, at Mary Lou Who Blog. And I stream on Twitch 2 days a week at Mary Lou Games. So you can find me there, too.
And since you are taking this month off for the Con Report, because we're doing something, of course, with Track Directors this month, but you will be back in August, correct?
I will. I'll be back, and then we'll be at the convention.
Then we'll be at the convention.
40 days. 40 days.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
I hear that ticking. It's coming. It's coming. The apple pie is brewing. It's brewing. Ah! Oh, God. Oh, we are in so much trouble. Oh, God. Okay, Mr. Mike, what do you got for us?
I, as always, it's my pleasure. I love doing this show, especially when we're talking about, you know, great shows like Glow. So it's always fun. So I appreciate the time that this show allows me to do that. So I'm all happy about that. My shout out this week, you know what, you know, we talked about San Diego and we talked about a lot of the previews and stuff like that we saw and all that kind of stuff. But, one show that I've really just loving and I'm loving it in the off season. And I like seeing what I saw, like they had a panel at San Diego. So that's why it's on my mind and, is The Good Place, since we're talking about good shows. It's one of my top shows. I've mentioned it before here, and I know we're scheduled to do an episode about it in September, so I'm looking forward to that, but I did want to give them a shout out. But not just the show, but The Good Place. NBC has produced a podcast, The Good Place podcast, and it goes really behind the scenes, interviews all the actors, the writers, people like the wardrobe people, and it just is a really good a supplement to the show. So and they always talk about what's good, sort of keeps that vibe, that good vibe that you get while watching The Good Place going, even when the show's not on. It just really makes me smile. And it's hosted by Mark Evan Jackson, who plays Sean on The Good Place. And I just I have to give a shout out because it's one of my favorite listens now. So Good Place podcast. Check it out.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. I'm definitely going to start watching that show because it's another one that you've highly recommended.
And it's available on Netflix as well to binge. It's only, and it's a half an hour each episode. So guess what? Just like Glow, you can watch Good Place.
It's so good. You're going to love it, Mike. You really have to watch it.
I already know the twist, but I think I'll still love it.
No, you will.
It's at the end of the first season. There's a whole second season after that.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. And I'm not going to mention the twist in case people out there haven't seen it and do want to see it. All right. My shout out goes to the Dragon Con Report. That's right, folks. The Dragon Con Report has been coming to you for the last couple years. Probably what we're on our sixth year of doing the Dragon Con Report. And we do it at every, you know, January through the end of September. We go all the way through monthly. And I'm very happy to announce that this week we've released our second video. That's right. Darren and I got back together and we did the walking tour again, showing everybody the hotels, showing everybody where you go to eat, where the America's Mart is, where the vendor rooms are going to be. And, you know, this one actually came out, I think, a lot better even than our first one. And, you know, kudos to Lewis McCrary for doing the production on this one. Kudos to Darren for joining me and being my sidekick on this adventure. And it was a lot of fun. And
I'm sorry, he said you were his sidekick.
No, he's my sidekick.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, just trying to keep it straight.
Remember, director favor, you know.
Oh, he pulls the director card.
Of course I do. So, you know, I will always do that. And it was great. It was a lot of fun to film. And we're getting a lot of great feedback and, you know, a lot of great kudos already. Got some great stuff, you know, compliments on it from the newbies group. And it's just a lot of great, you know, things. So, you know, check it out. It's all up on YouTube. And, you know, you could just go look for ESO Network up on YouTube. And, you know, you could see the old video. You could see the current one. And, you know, if any Hollywood producers are looking for, you know, stunt doubles, Darren and I are available. So it's always a great thing. So, you know, that's going to wrap up our show for this week. As always, you know, thank you guys for listening and, you know, donating to the Patreon. We got some new donations this last week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We also, you know, if you want to leave feedback for us, you could always write us at earthstation1@esonetwork.com or call us at 404-963-9057. That's our call-in line. Leave a voicemail for us. Let us know what you guys think of GLOW. It was great. It was a lot of fun to talk about. And you know what? You can find us up on all different media players, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and many, many more. And I'm going to have a big announcement next week about iTunes and, you know, some of the ways you can find the ESO Network. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But until then, my name is Mike Faber, and we will see you here next time on the Earth Station One podcast. Peace, and we're done.
Ta-da.
Yay.
You've been listening to Earth Station One, a weekly podcast that explores the many worlds of all things geek. Please write us at esopodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. And if we find what you say interesting, we'll put it up on the air. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate us or leave feedback for us up on iTunes. And while you're there, subscribe to our show or any of the ESO Network podcasts. They can also be found up on Stitcher Radio or wherever fine podcasts are found. ESO is also available up on most social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and so many more. To learn more about ESO, our website is esopodcast.com. The show is produced by Calico Productions. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you here next time on the Earth Station One podcast. Peace.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.